Well, God bless you all in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, and such great words of wisdom, Rebecca. And, you know, God has really worked in your life in a wonderful way, and you've put yourself to God. You've sought him with all your heart, and he's given you this great wisdom with the children, with your life, with your living. You've received the words gladly, and you've taken them to your heart, and you've applied it in your life, in your walk with God. And you've done the things that have been encouraged, and so now you're reaping the wonderful blessings of getting the wisdom and the understanding yourself, which God wants you to have, because God wants all of us to have that living relationship with him. And it's not based upon any other body's words. It's not based upon some traditional teaching or doctrines. It's based upon you going to God with all of your heart, seeking him. Like, you know, God wants us to seek him with all of our heart, lean not unto our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge him. So when we get him in our focus, then we can really move forward with strength, wisdom, power, might, direction. And, you know, and God is taking care of us in each and every situation. You know, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it's the power of God unto salvation and wholeness. And saying that, I'm right now, just today, coming to the hospital to have a procedure done. But God's blessed me and afforded me this opportunity to share, because I didn't know whether I was able to share. And the gentleman that I've been put on, because I come as a day case, and the gentleman I'm sharing this big room with is just me and him. He didn't mind me sharing. So that's my friend over there. You want to say hi to everyone?
Hi
there. Yeah. So we'll get to chat a bit later on, which is great, as you know my manner is. So God gives us wonderful opportunities to continue with him no matter what goes on. You know, no matter what's happened. Like, God is first in all situations. And I make sure that I keep God first where I can keep him first, you know. If I couldn't come on here because of not being able to speak, then I would have just stayed silent. But I would have been on here listening and looking to be inspired by God. And like, I've listened to Danny and Amber and Becky now, and they're great inspiration. And I'll continue to listen, and I'll hear other wonderful inspirational words from God coming through your mouths. And this wonderful wisdom God gives us as we continue with him means if we apply that wisdom, you know, wisdom is knowledge, is knowledge applied, basically. So we want to receive the words, the heavenly words, the direction, but we get the wisdom from doing, from living this thing, not just having a mental assent or a knowledge of something. That's great, but if you want to see the power, you've got to move with God and let him inspire you with his thoughts and ideas and the spiritual wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So this wonderful wisdom is what gets us moving, what allows God to continue to move. Like we know with Solomon, you know, God visited him in a dream and said, ask me what you want. And what did Solomon say? What did he ask? You know, what did Solomon say to God? He said, like, give me wisdom to come in and out amongst your people, because it's such a great people. And who can manage such great people, you know? So, and this really pleased the heart of God, because he didn't ask for money, didn't ask for silver, gold, riches, or the life of his enemies, or long life for himself even. But he sought first the kingdom of God. His heart was after God. Like, how do I move amongst your people? You know, I'm just a young lad here, and I got a, you know, monitor of this whole nation that you've given me to oversee. And I need to come in and out amongst them and show myself to be wise, show myself to be a king. So this pleased God, and God gave him what he asked for. And then he also gave him the riches and the wealth and the long life and the life of his enemies. So when we conduct our hearts with God, no matter what situations we're in, we can have that long life. And we can have it not just living, but with joy, with happiness, with direction, not worrying and biting our nails up to the second knuckle, because we're wondering where money's coming from, or are we going to be healed? Are we going to be delivered? Are we going to be set free? Listen, God is very, very faithful. And it doesn't matter what state you're in. You know, if you've got faith towards God, then he's at work and he'll go to work for you. And he's not a respecter of persons. And so I've just been thinking on along these lines today about, you know, the wisdom of God. And one of the great things is that God gives great wisdom about stewardship. You know, this has been big in my heart about being stewards of God. And initially our minds could go to finances on that. And it actually does include finances, but it's such a great topic, this wisdom of being a good steward of God's things. Basically, a steward is a steward of another man's property, like from scripture. And also for us, we're stewards of the things that God has given us. And it's just such a great thing. And the greatest example, I'll give you just a quick overview. I'm not going to speak for long. But basically the overview, what God was showing me is that this stewardship, when it's in our lives, tends to great prosperity, great increase, and great growth. If we look at the life of Joseph, the young lad, and his brothers got jealous of him, the life that he was living, and they beat him up, sold him into slavery, but they seen the Potiphar who took him on, seeing that God was with him, that this kid was wise. And Potiphar put him in charge of his whole house. So Joseph was stewarding the things that belong to Potiphar. It's absolutely amazing. Like, God got him started on this little apprenticeship. And so he managed the things of Potiphar's affairs. And Potiphar didn't even have to think about it. He just left it to Joseph because he knew that this young man had the wisdom of God. And from there, obviously, we know that his wife kind of tried to get it on with Joseph, and Joseph was a person of integrity. Even while his master wasn't there, he ran from her, and she grabbed hold of his dressing gown, so to speak, and then used that and said, look, he come in and tried to rape me, she said to Potiphar, and Potiphar threw him in the jail. But God was with him. Like, God is with you. And in that prison, he was made overseer of the prisoners by the prison guard, right? He was made the overseer. And so again, he was stewarding these other affairs and making sure that the men were looked after and everything was taken care of, to such a thing that God opened the door for him and blessed him to interpret the dream of Pharaoh, because nobody else could interpret this dream, right? So when he went before Pharaoh, he interpreted the dream. He gave honor and praise to God that God gave him the interpretation of it. And what did Pharaoh do? He made him steward of the whole Egypt. And Pharaoh, he was second in command to Pharaoh. So Pharaoh just gave him his signet ring. So whatever he said, whatever Joseph said, went. It was just as good as Pharaoh saying that. And because he had proven himself as a steward. So he started off in Potiphar's home, then to the prison, and now stewarding the things over all of Egypt. And God gave him the wisdom that in the 7 years of prosperity, he was to store and heap up seed of all different kind, and to put it, and where to put it, and how to store the food and the seed that he was storing. And those 7 years of gathering was going to take the 7 years of when there was a famine, right? And not only did it feed Joseph and all of Egypt and Joseph's family and the world, you know, it made Egypt very, very, very rich, because every nation of the earth come to them for the seed to get through that 7 years of famine. So stewardship is a really big deal, you know, and when it comes to our own things, our finances, no, finances is a big deal. And, you know, and the reason why it's a big deal, because especially with God, it's the first things first, you know, honor the Lord with thy substance and the first fruits of all your increase. When it comes to money, we're to honor God first. You know, that's the first thing we do, not anything else, but God first. And if we're really serious with God and we really want to see growth and outreach and we want to see laborers and we want to see our own personal fellowship with God grow, and God add people to us, people we can work with, then this area is one area that we all got to practice and do from the heart without fear. Oh, you know, if I give, I'm not going to get anything. And so we start off that way in honoring God, but it goes further than that, doesn't it? It goes further in the sense of, you know, what you do when you get blessed with an abundance. How do you steward that money? Because, you know, we could think, well, I got so much, that you don't give a care or a thought for how you're using it and what you're doing with it, right? And this is where God taught me, going back when I first reconnected back to India, that we went shopping, me and Kim, and it was in the lockdown. And she she can go shopping. She's very liberal when she shops. And as we went shopping, God said, put in my heart, grab another trolley, an empty trolley. So I'm following her around with this trolley, not even knowing why. And Kim said, oh, you're going to get some shopping as well. So she was really happy, thinking I'm going to spend more money, right? And I'm just like, well, I don't know, we'll see. I didn't know myself until it came to the point that Kim's trolley was filled right up and she was ready to go and cash out. And then I realized what it was about. And I just said to her, listen, see this trolley that you filled up. I want you to put the things that you don't really need into this trolley. Like the things that we don't need. You know, you just picked it up and thought, okay, I like this and I like that. Well, she actually filled my empty trolley up halfway. So her trolley was half full as well. And so basically that was like £200 saving. And I said, so we don't really need what you put in this trolley. She says, no. I said, so we'll leave this here then because we don't need it. She said, yeah, if you want to. But I thought we'd have this extra. And I said, but love, it gets chucked out. You know, once the date's gone, you throw it out. Even if it's a day before. So even she's seen the wisdom in that. And I said, so when you go shopping next time, my advice to you, love, is just ask yourself, do I really want this? Because it's either going to be neglected and chucked out, and it's just like chucking the money out, isn't it? So it's not good stewarding. And so from that time, she's been a good steward when it comes to shopping, you know? And so these are just little examples. But what about our time? What about our words and our thoughts and our emotions and what we're doing in a day? You know, spending time with the children, like Becky was mentioning. You know, you've got to give them time. And you can either waste that time, you know, just neglecting that they're actually there and just give them an ice cream, sit them in the corner or take them to a park for 5 minutes, or you're going to invest time. That's stewardship. Stewarding your children, investing in them, you know, building them up and blessing them. That's one angle. You know, there's many areas of stewardship, and I've just lightly touched an overview of what I'm going to be looking at. And because, like, it's an inspirational thought from God, and it's still burning in my heart to do it. And even this time now, I could have sat in the bed. That's why I'm sleeping over there. I could have sat there and not even listened. You know, I could have just led there feeling sorry for myself, you know. But no, like, life carries on. Like, God's going to take care. If I got breath and I got energy and I'm not in pain, I'm going to be speaking. And I'm going to be opening my mouth, and I'm not going to be closing it. I'm going to be practicing everything that I've been encouraged, and also what I encourage. So what are the things that we encourage? Let me remind you again, if you're serious, because we don't want to be wasting any time here, right? I don't want people wasting my time, and I don't want you wasting my time. I'm looking for people that, number one, are going to receive the words gladly, like they did on the day of Pentecost, yeah? And continue steadfastly. And that means you're not neglecting those things. So what do we encourage? No, speak in tongues much, right? Speak by the Spirit. Honor the Lord with your substance and the first fruits will your increase. Honoring God with your money. No, money. You know, we're talking about money. People don't like that word, do they? Especially when it comes to your money. Money, we honor God with our finances. Okay? Staying connected. With the heart, not just, oh, I'll give a little call and say hello and check in. No, just do it with heart. I'm calling you. I want to hear what you got to say. And, you know, and I want to hear what people got to say to me and what I can say to them from God and give them that encouragement. Praying for those labors with real desire. Not letting the things of this, like the emotional things. Emotions are a big deal, right, if you allow it to be. And we can harness our emotions and put them to good use, into authority, into power, rather than let it get on top of us. Because there's lots of things that have gone on in this year already that we could have copped out. Lots of people could have copped out right now. But if you're still there, don't just be there. Be intentional with what you're doing. Be focused. And like I was sharing earlier on, and a few sharings back, people wander aimlessly because they got no direction. They got no vision. You know, they haven't gone to God. What's the vision? What's the revelation? What's your direction? And that's why people do go and wander off, because they haven't got focus. They haven't got a vision. They haven't got goals in their life. You need goals. God has designed us to have his goals, to go after them, like praying for the laborers, practicing the things that we're being encouraged. Let's see the fruit. Let's see this really work. I'm in this. If it doesn't work, I'm not doing that. Because I know it must be man-made. And it's, and I know that it, this is not man-made. The right sound doctrine is not man-made. When it comes from God, it's going to be fruitful. It's going to be easy and gentle to be entreated and peaceable. And it's going to bear precious fruit. Things from God bears precious fruit if we're doing it with the heart. We haven't got another evil thinking mind in there. Oh, like, I mean, what I mean is an evil thinking mind could be like I'm talking about honoring God. Oh, here he goes, talking about that again. Oh, now he's gone on to stewardship, talking about that again. You thinking that? That's an evil mind because you don't know the heart and the intent of the heart. Now, if I'm saying what God says, and that's what God says, that's a topic there that God really speaks more about than any other thing in there. Money is, Jesus spoke more about money than anything else. Why? Because if you can't be faithful in the mammon, in the worldly material possessions and finances, you're not going to be entrusted with the true spiritual things. So you bring that together with outreach and growth. Then you'll see that when Joseph was a good steward, he was promoted. God promoted him. All right. Then he got accused by Potiphar's wife of trying on with her. So Potiphar thought he lied and chucked him into the prison, but he still got promoted. And because he had that integrity and that heart, then God was still able to promote him to second in command over all of Egypt, which was basically feeding the world. He was like a modern day Bob Geldof back then. You know, Bob Geldof done Live Aid, didn't he? You know, so it's like when we're faithful, when we're steward, when we got integrity, when we're doing the right things, when nothing's going right, that's having integrity. You continue steadfastly. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So this is, we need to continue in these heavenly truths, these words that God is inspiring by the Spirit. That's also matched up and lined up right there in the scriptures that speak very loud. And you're doing it for you first and foremost, you with God. And then he's connecting you and directing you as you receive these words. And then he will cause you to flourish and grow spiritually first and mentally and emotionally. And then it starts to manifest on the outside of you, because it's got to start on the inside of you before it's going to work its way out on the outside. You know, you've got to build your heart with truth, these wonderful truths. And the way you get it in there is by the confession and walking and the practice of those things until it becomes a part of you, until it changes you. You know, we're confessing and speaking in that manner. We're not speaking along the world's way or to religious traditional way, but we're focused. We mean business, and people know we mean business. So I would say to you guys, you know, you can come on this Zoom fellowship and get blessed by hearing a teaching, but you ain't going to be fruitful if you're not doing the things that we're encouraging, because we're all about being fruitful here. So you know, if you're going to connect, connect. If you're going to honor God, honor God. And what's the saying that has always said that you've got to sit on the pot and shit or get off? Right? In other words, put your money where your mouth is. Let's see some real action behind your words, because faith is action. It's not just mental assent. Oh yes, I'll honor God. Oh yes, I'll speak in tongues. Oh yes, I connect you. And you don't do it. You're living mentalist. You're just thinking it. You're not doing it. So you won't be fruitful. God wants you to be fruitful, and he shows us how to be fruitful. So this is my job as a leader, to encourage these things when I see these things. I'm not saying everyone's there, but there are people that can sharpen up in areas, and we're to provoke one another unto love and to good works, excite one another. Now let's speak these heavenly words. Let's get our hearts and our words synchronized with truth. And let's speak it with the feeling and emotion of those wonderful truths. Then you'll see manifestation of the blessings that God says you can have. And so, you know, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about the things in this world. If you worry, it's going to steal your joy, your peace, and your confession. And then you get on to the carnal way of confessing or believing. You'll get full of fears and worries and doubts. So if you're being challenged right now, switch it. Switch it up in your mind, in your heart, and start saying what God says. Start speaking it. build your faith. You're going to believe the words coming out of your mouth more. You're going to believe them coming out of mine. And faith comes by hearing. So if you're speaking God's words, it's going to get right down in the depths of that heart. And it might start off manufactured, but the more you do it, the more it will become real. And the more you'll start to believe the words you're speaking, then you start to see everything around you change. And if God can do it once in your life, he can do it over and over again. Now, we're to be transformed by the renewing. It's a continuous renewing. It's basically a continuing confession of faith and saying what God says, bringing our full subject to the obedience of Christ, casting down imagination, every high thing that distorts itself against the knowledge of God. So this is our simple walk. It's a very, very simple walk. It's not complicated, this walk. Don't make it complicated. We don't have to shut ourselves away either for weeks on end to get ourselves right with God. Every day, 24 hours, move in that day. You know? You don't have to sit there and think, I need to get away for 6 weeks now and get me head together and find out where I'm going. You can know, you know, from God within a couple of hours if you want to. You've got to believe that he's working. So anyway, I think I've shared enough now, and I'll say God bless you all, and you have a wonderful rest of your evening, and thank you for hearing me. So thank you, Carmel. Bless your heart, brother.
We love you.
Thank you. Bless you.